Tokyo to the rescue.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. In the midst of the deepening European debt crisis, some good news from Japan this morning. The Japanese finance minister has pledged about $1 billion to help with the bailout of Ireland. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has more from London.
The money will go to Ireland, but the whole of the European Union will guarantee repayment. This is not an altruistic move by the Japanese. Japan has an interest at stake. It sells 10% of its exports to Europe and could do without more turmoil. But will Japan's investment do the trick and stop the crisis spreading to other countries in the Eurozone? Steve Barrow of Standard Bank thinks not. He says after Greece and then Ireland, Portugal could be the next casualty.
It does look as if Portugal, for instance, is the next domino to fall. And I don't think Japanese investment in the Eurozone will stop Portugal from requiring that bailout.
The Portuguese Prime Minister today insisted his country doesn't need bailing out. But the big test comes tomorrow when his government will try to borrow more money on the markets. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Staying in London for a moment, the CEO of Barclays Bank is on the hot seat there this morning. He's taking flak from lawmakers over his multi-million dollar bonus. Whether or not big banker bonuses make you angry, they sure do worry some macro economists who are concerned about the rich getting richer while the poor get poorer. World Bank economist Branko Milanovic has just written a book called The Haves and the Have-Nots. He joins us now from Washington. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, let's start with the United States. You write that income inequality here in the U.S. reached its trough in the late 70s, but has been climbing ever since then. Why is that happening?
Basically, one of the explanations is that there has been a change in technological progress, which actually puts much greater emphasis on high level of skills and ability of people to work with very expensive capital. So the premium for skills has risen, and consequently, the gap between those who have skills and those who don't has increased.
You might say that the countries that don't have as big of a problem with income inequality are communist countries like China. But you write that, in fact, economic leveling, as you call it, leads to stagnation and ultimate decline, that it's not so great to have perfect equality across the board.
Inequality is like cholesterol. I mean, you have good inequality. That would be inequality which would lead people to take risks, to actually work harder, to study more in order to make more money. But there is also bad inequality. That's inequality which actually cements the acquired position, which doesn't let poor people acquire education if they don't have money and so on.
As you've been writing this book, you've obviously spent a lot of time focusing on income inequality. As you look at the United States, what do you see for us going forward? Are we going to become more unequal when it comes to income or less?
I actually believe that the U.S. has now reached a point where actually it has to go down in terms of income inequality. It would tend to reduce top incomes.
Rich people are not getting richer. They're getting a little bit poorer.
Yes, they're getting a little bit poorer. Of course, poor people, also people who are unemployed, get poorer as well. So it's not an ambiguous thing. But on balance, I think actually the crisis tend to actually reduce slightly inequality.
Branko Milanovic is the author of the new book, The Haves and the Have-Nots, about income inequality. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure.
And The Haves and the Have-Nots is just one of the latest business books up on our big book blog at marketplace.org. And let's do the numbers. Markets are up in Europe this morning, following the news that Stephen Beard reported that Japan will buy some European bonds. Alcoa kicked off earnings season after U.S. markets closed yesterday with a strong forecast for the year ahead, thanks to rising aluminum prices. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 37 points. It closed at 11,637.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, helping small businesses and nonprofits make sense of social media. You can learn more at constantcontact.com/social media. By Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud.
Well, not every publication sees the news the same way. If you check the satirical website of The Onion this morning, one of the top stories is, quote, "snowy conditions proving hazardous for the nation's idiots," unquote. They spoke with this fictional driver who got into a fender bender.
It was too cold to scrape off the windshield, and I really wanted a super slush. I don't know what else I was supposed to do.
Well, The Onion is launching a sports satire TV show tonight on Comedy Central, right before The Daily Show. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins looks at how The Onion might fare on the air.
Think ESPN Sports Center, but with an Onion twist.
Sports Dome is coming your way, and you won't even believe all the sports we've gotten here.
We've got baseball, we've got football, and I'm totally blanking on the other sports.
Along with Sports Dome, The Onion's launching a news parody show on another channel next week. The Onion brings in over 7 million online visitors a month. Its print circulation has suffered, though, as waning ad revenue forced it to close operations in San Francisco and Los Angeles. Ed Atterino is a media analyst with The Benchmark Company.
They're obviously trying to find a new market, a new way to make money.
Brad Adgate of Horizon Media says The Onion's likely TV viewers will be attractive to advertisers.
What's appealing about their audience is that it's young. It's very popular on college campuses. It's very popular with young adults.
So maybe it's no surprise that a recent headline on TheOnion.com says the Federal Communications Commission will be fining Americans who fail to keep up with television shows. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, Chicago's commuter rail service, Metra, will follow in the tracks of the busy trains here in the Northeast. As of yesterday, some train cars on Metra will be quiet cars during rush hour, as in cars you can't talk in. Well, as someone who occasionally rides an Amtrak's quiet car, I can tell you from experience, those quiet cars, they're all talk. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Americans throw a lot of stuff away without really any motivation to stop.
Makes me think about an all-you-can-eat buffet, as in all-you-can-throw-out trash, and with no incentives for people to think about the cost of what they're doing.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the Freakonomics of Garbage, next time on Marketplace. Today's business news and the numbers from Wall Street as well. It's from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.